Title of the message tonight is Living a Foolproof Life. And notice how fool is spelled, F-O-O-L. Living a foolproof life. The Bible talks quite a bit about fools. Now, Jesus warns us, and I want to warn you right up front before we get started. He says, be careful before you call a person a fool, right? It's all about the heart. It's all about our intentions. But yet, in the Scripture is very clear that God calls people fools, right? So if we're going to call someone a fool, we better be in line with the Word of God when we say it, and our heart and intention should be right when we say it. And so tonight, we're going to talk about that. But let me start with an illustration. D.L. Moody, he was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. I love D.L. Moody from, you know, years back. But D.L. Moody did a lot of wonderful things and won a lot of people to the Lord. But D.L. Moody was preaching once, and, you know, he had this knack. You know, a lot of people loved him. They loved his preaching, but a lot of people didn't, right? A lot of people would get upset at his preaching because he didn't play. He told it like it was. And so D.L. Moody was preaching once, and he got a note just before he stepped up to preach, and all that was on that note was the word, big letters, fool, F-O-O-L. And so he stepped up to the front, and he said, this is interesting. I usually get letters from people without a name on it. But tonight, somebody gave me a piece of paper with their name on it, but no letter. So two reasons to read about the Proverbs fool, and Proverbs talks a lot about it. So we're going to look at two reasons to read about the Proverbs fool. Number one is this, to learn how to recognize a fool, number one. And number two, even more importantly, to learn how to avoid being foolish ourselves, okay? So even though certain people are identified as fools in the Bible, how many of you know can testify to the fact that there's a little bit of foolishness in all of us that wants to show up from time to time. And so learning about fools can convict us of our own foolishness. And so when I know what the Bible calls a fool or what the Lord considers a fool, it makes me say, I don't want to be that. All right? How do I identify this Proverbs fool? First off, they are presented as unteachable. Don't look at them, but know anybody that's unteachable? Ever met somebody that was unteachable? Ever met somebody that just already thought they knew it all? No matter what you tried to teach them, they already know it, right? I've met a few people in my life, sometimes in their early 20s, that have already lived like 70 or 80 years, if y'all know what I'm talking about. So let me give you a couple scriptures. Proverbs 1:7b says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. We all have a foolish side of us. It's called the flesh nature. It's called the old carnal nature. You know, how many of you, you can raise your hand on this one because I'll raise my hand on it. How many of you have ever felt something want to rise up and get upset or get mad when somebody pointed out something to you that you really needed to hear because you were being foolish? I mean, and that lets you know that that fool on the inside is trying to rise up, that old man is trying to rise up. I remember, I won't say who it is or anything, but a while back I had a young man tell me, he said, Pastor, I sure wish I would listen to you. Because he had his eyes on this beautiful big four-wheel drive truck that was costing way too much and the interest rate was way too high, and he didn't have that kind of money to spend. But he had to have that truck. And he did not seek my counsel, and I tried to, and look, it's not up to, you don't have to come ask me about buying a car, but this was a young man that, you know, our opinion did matter to some degree, but you can want something so bad that even though wisdom tells you, don't do this, you can want it so bad that you can convince yourself that it must be God's will for you to have it. Because after all, if it wasn't God's will, I wouldn't want it so bad. And then they make a foolish decision, and he would tell you today that it was a foolish decision. So he bought that thing, and from day one it was nothing but trouble, constant trouble, costing him money all the time. It was way too expensive, all that kind of stuff. But that's what happens to us when we don't want to hear wisdom and instruction, especially from someone who's already been there, from someone who knows things that we don't know. I remember our son one time, you know, most of you know, if you know our son, he had gone through Teen Challenge many years ago when he was 19 years old. And one of the things that was so amazing, when we sat down, we went to Teen Challenge, and the guy, Greg Deal, who was leading it there, it was in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, which was a place, it was really smart to have it there because nobody wanted to just leave there, right? You didn't want to just walk out that door without somebody coming to get you. And he saw all kind of stuff happen in that particular neighborhood, my son did, while he was there. But when we first sat down and he talked to Brother Greg, and I forget how old Brother Greg was at that time. I think he was 40-something, but he looked at Alex and he said, listen, one thing you need to understand, there is no way you can know in your 19 years what I know in my, I think, I don't know, it was 40-something years. There's no way you can know what I know. Do you understand that? And Alex said, yes, sir. He said, good, then I think we can get somewhere here, right? So sometimes there's that flesh nature in there that is a fool, and it despises wisdom and instruction because it lets your feelings and your carnal desires override your good sense, all right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22c says, fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. Now, it's not that they literally hate wisdom or instruction and knowledge. It's not that they so much that they hate it or not. It's not like they want to be dumb. It's just that they hate it in the sense that they won't gain anything from it because they already think they know it all. So they don't want anybody telling them anything because they already know it all, right? And again, there's no way. I'm going to tell you, I don't know it all, right? I know people that are well up in age, way older than me, who still don't know it all. There's only one know-it-all in the universe, and it's God. So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If you remember, if you read through the Judges, one of the things that you read through over and over again in the Judges, in the book of Judges, is everybody did what was right in their own eyes. How many of you know we live in a culture and in a time where pretty much everybody does what's right in their own eyes? There is no standard. People have, even within the church, have abandoned God's standards. They've abandoned his commands. They've abandoned his moral code, and everybody has their own moral code, and if I think it's right, then it must be right for me. And most of the world lives like that, and the Bible says that they are a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So since they refuse to learn, they continually make the same mistakes. Now, again, raise your hand if you've ever made the same mistakes. Come on. Remember that commandment about lying, all right? We've all done it. And when we did, it's because we were being a fool. Here's another way to say it. When we did, we were leaning to our own understanding. We were not being led by the Holy Spirit. All right? Y'all hear me? So since they refuse to learn, they're going to continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. Some people define that as insanity. The Bible defines it as being a fool. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. That's such a graphic scripture. I've used that many times, but it's such a graphic scripture to think about. You know, if I could think about before I do that thing that I'm about to eat vomit, it might repulse me enough to back off, right? So instead of learning, the fool does this. In Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but look what he does in expressing his own opinion. Now, don't look at anybody in here. Don't look at them. But anybody know anybody very opinionated and they like to express it? All right. Y'all did good. That wasn't foolish of you to not look at anybody. But a fool loves to express their own opinion. Man, I tell you, when I was working construction, I loved those guys. I did. But most of the people that I worked with did not know the Lord. And most of them honestly act like fools. They may have been good craftsmen and so on and so forth, but they love to air their own opinion about everything. And people do it anywhere from sitting, you know, they call them armchair quarterbacks. Or, you know, everybody wants to tell the president how he should be president. Or how the owner of a company, how they should run the company. But they ain't doing none of it. tell the quarterback how to throw the ball or how to play the game, but they're sitting on their recliner, right? This is to say they don't want to understand. They just want to hear themselves talk. So this leaves them all puffed up like a puffer fish. Now, this is where we get the picture from. They get all puffed up like a puffer fish. And by the way, this is interesting. A single puffer fish can produce enough toxin to kill 30 adult humans. And to humans, it is 1,200 times more poisonous than cyanide. One puffer fish. Why am I saying that? Because fools are just as poisonous to anybody who will consume the stuff they want to put out. This is why I tell people it's foolish to get on YouTube and go listen to everybody that has everything to say negative about God and the church and Christianity. It's foolish to go fill your head with that kind of stuff instead of filling your head with the Word of God and the truth that God has given us. And people that do that, they're going to struggle in their faith all their life. People that just, they're always giving the enemy an ear. We heard a preacher say one time that Judas, one of his main issues was he thought that the enemy of Christ had a right to be heard. So keep that in mind. All right, so Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3a says, "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride." What's he talking about? He's talking about that tongue, right? This pride leaves them blind to their own foolishness. It's called deception. They're deceived. When a person is living in deception, which many, many people are, the Bible says they are a fool. Now, nobody likes to be called a fool, right? Nobody wants to be called a fool. Nobody wants to acknowledge that they are a fool, but yet, the moment we lean to our own understanding, we will be a fool. That fool in you is going to rise up and he's going to do something stupid that's going to cost you or cost somebody else. Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." So wise people know the truth about themselves and they can see themselves pretty accurately. Sometimes we need help other people to point out things to us. We all need that. My pastor always said, everybody needs somebody in their life who's not impressed with them, right? Everybody needs somebody in their lives that's willing to tell them the truth when they need to hear it. So wise people know the truth about themselves typically because they can pretty much see themselves accurately and they're willing to receive correction. Fools, on the other hand, have deceived themselves into thinking that they are wise. As a result, they think that they're speaking wisdom, but in fact, according to the scripture, Proverbs 15:2b, it says, "The mouth of the fool pours out foolishness." Proverbs 15:14b, "The mouth of the fool feeds on foolishness." Oh, now we know why he pours out foolishness, because he feeds on foolishness. And this is why their mouths and their ignorance get them in trouble. Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Proverbs 10:21, "Fools die for lack of wisdom." You know, I'll tell you, if you are following the leading of the Lord, and I've said this many times, if you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can't go wrong. If you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can't make a bad decision. You can't, because he can't. Our problem is, so many times, we want to play the fool. And we want to do what our own brain is telling us instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't get away from that. It's just the way it is. So, what's the solution for fools? Well, how can they avoid the destruction that their foolishness brings? The solution is to become teachable, all right? Proverbs 8:5, "O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." You know, God is not like the Bible has teeth. God is not playing. And when it comes to warning a fool, he's doing this because his heart is for us. He doesn't want us to go to destruction. He doesn't want us to destroy our potential and to destroy our lives and to destroy our families and to destroy our future. He doesn't want that. And so he has to be pretty tough on us and let us know what you're doing is foolish. Now, how do you deal with fools? And I'm talking about on a human level. How do you deal with fools? Well, one of the instructions in Proverbs is very practical and very simple. It's a very simple answer, and that is this. You don't. You don't. At least, hear me, at least you don't in the natural, right? Proverbs says that the best way to deal with a fool is by not dealing with them at all. This is what should happen in the natural. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17. This is what God says to do. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. What is he saying? Don't hang around with fools. Don't fellowship with that. Don't listen to that. Don't put your ear to that. Right? What does the scripture say? Bad company does what? Corrupts good character. Now, we like to try to blame the bad company all the time, right? How many of you have ever seen that? Somebody's kid's being a heathen, right? And I know none of your kids have ever been heathens, but somebody's kid is being a heathen, but instead of holding that kid accountable, we like to blame it on all the other kids. And they say, because they're hanging around them kids. Meanwhile, their mama is telling people it's because they're hanging around with their kid, and they're pointing at you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But it is true, you better be careful about the company you hang with. Be careful about who you fellowship with. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear. When it comes to a divisive person, because a divisive person is a fool, and when it comes to a divisive person, say within a church or even within a company, someone that's always running their mouth, always negative, always complaining, always offended about this and offended about that. The Bible says, it uses the word, shun them. It says, warn them once, and then warn them again, then shun them. You know what that means? That means, talk to the hand. Don't hang with them. Don't listen to them. Don't give them audience. Don't give them an ear. The only thing you should be telling them is, man, you need to repent. You need to repent of that. It's killing you. It's not good. You need to repent. That's the only kind of fellowship you should have with that person that's being divisive. All right, so this is what should happen. Get away from them. When you recognize people are fools, you can't think that somehow you can fix them. If they don't want to hear the instruction of the Lord, you can't fix them. I mean, there's been times over the years when the Lord has had us, although we hate to do it, we never want to do it because we love everybody, but there are times when we had to break fellowship with people. We had to. And even tell the church, listen, this is what's going on. We love them, but right now we're going to have to love them from a distance. And we're going to pray for them, right? You don't give up. You don't stop praying for them. We love them. We want them to go to heaven. We want them to come to repentance. We want them to be okay. But you can't let them stay like they are and you somehow make life easy for them. And we've had to do that, and it never fails. People in the church many times over the years would still want to hang with them and want to. And you know what? Every time that has ever happened, that person never came to repentance. So if you choose to hang around fools, though the Bible also lets you know what to expect. If Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20b says, the companion of fools will be destroyed. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, I want to tell you, just in case you're wondering, we're not dealing with that happening right now. There's like within the church, like there's nobody cutting up and acting stupid that we're aware of. They might be in the background, I don't know, being I'm teaching this message tonight. But understand that you better be prepared, right? And you need to know how to handle those kind of situations. When a person is being a fool, when they refuse to be taught, they refuse, they think they know it already. They already know, why do I need a pastor? I already know more than that. Why do I need a supervisor? I already know more than that supervisor. Why do I need this? Why do I already know it all? So what if you don't want to be the companion of fools, but you want to try to reason with a fool? In other words, what if you try to deal with that fool according to common sense? The reality is that you can't because it's inevitably going to become an argument. If you're truly standing for truth and you want to deal with a fool based on common sense, you're not going to agree. If you have ever watched, how many of you have ever watched a debate? Maybe a debate between a Christian and an atheist. Ever watched a debate between a Christian and an atheist? Can I ask you, does anybody ever win? No. Truth is, nobody ever wins. The people who were already Christian are going to say, yeah, the Christian guy won. And all the atheists are going to say, that atheist won. Right? Nobody's winning when you're dealing, and you're in the soul, right? When you're, and I'm going to deal with that here in a little bit. But nobody's winning if you're just trying to deal with common sense, because even though we call it common sense, there really is no such thing as common sense, because certain people think certain things are right and other people think other things are right because they have their own standard of right and wrong. And if we don't line up with the Word of God, and if the Word of God is not the truth that we're coming from, then no good is going to be done. Right? As far as in the eyes of people. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So when you're trying to talk about spiritual things to people who have no conception of spiritual things, and you're trying to do that on a natural level, they're not going to hear you. But can I tell you what they will hear? They will hear your testimony. They will hear what God took you out of. They will hear about the power of God that healed you in a supernatural way that nobody can explain. They will hear those things. It'll at least begin to break down some walls. But when you start just, you know, going at each other, spouting facts with each other, you're not going to accomplish anything, right? You're going to argue. And Scripture is very clear about the hostility that you can expect dealing with fools. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. It says, a fool's wrath is known at once. Fools are quick to oppose and ridicule and demean. You know, they want to justify themselves. Now, watch some of these debates that I was talking about a while ago. Maybe, you know, atheists versus Christians, and they're going to get into a college and they're going to debate and so on and so forth. And sometimes, Charlie Kirk was probably the best at it that I ever saw. But sometimes, you know, they're going to say something, and if they bring it with the right spirit and that person is able to receive it, it might change their life. But you better be led by the Spirit in order to do that. If it's just about trying to show who's right, then you're not going to win anything, all right? So what will happen, I've noticed this, especially on the atheist side, and we have to be careful not to do this on the Christian side, is that if they don't have the answer, then they'll begin to ridicule. They'll begin to just make what you're saying look absurd to try to get the crowd behind them. And that's what they do. If you ever watch a debate, you'll see that's what they do over and over again. So they're quick to do that. They want to demean you. They don't necessarily have the truth that can truly oppose you, so they just begin to demean and ridicule you. You just got to know that's going to happen. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. The fool says in his heart there is no God. So if they're calling themselves an atheist, God says then they're a fool. They are corrupt, and they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Right? So in the natural, that's who we are, apart from the Spirit of God. We're just natural fools. So if you've ever dealt, again, with an atheist on those spiritual matters, you're going to find that out if you hadn't found that out. So this is how miserable it is. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 12. This is what it says. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. They're going to do everything they can to just try to shred you. A fool will hate what you have to say. Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. I remember, I've told this story before, but a couple years back, they were saying that they think that they discovered life. I think it was on Mars, if I'm not mistaken. That was based on that they thought they had discovered some kind of water. And so because of that, they said, we believe that we found life on Mars. And I remember, you know, it was on a KPLC thing, thread on their Facebook. And I remember just simply putting these words. I said, isn't that amazing? They claim to have found life on Mars, even though they've not really seen life, but yet they can't tell that a baby inside of a womb is a life. And I'm telling you, all the fools showed up on the KPLC thread. And this went on and on and on. And I, like a fool, tried to reason with them. And I gave them good truth. But the more I tried, the worse it got. And the more of them would pile on and pile on and pile. I mean, it was crazy. Then they started going to my personal Facebook page and insulting me there. And I'll never forget, I busted out laughing. One of them said something, and I looked at them. I looked at their profile, and they were, you know, obviously it was a man who didn't know they were a man, okay? We'll just put it that way. And got on my Facebook page and said, "You are just so stupid, you fatty." And when I saw that, I busted out laughing. I said, "My goodness, all from one single, listen, it was one grain of truth." Now, who can argue with that? You're going to tell me you found life on Mars, but you can't tell that's a life in the womb of a woman, right? So, but again, it doesn't matter. See, you can present truth, but if a person is a fool, you can't teach them anything. They already think they know. They already think they have truth. They have their own version of truth. And the Bible is warning us about them. And here's the thing. Here's the thing we need to know. This isn't so that we can just judge a bunch of people. This is so we can know that we can easily become a fool ourselves the moment we get unteachable. "They will despise the wisdom of your words. You will be scorned if you try to rebuke a fool." Proverbs 14:9a says, "Fools mock at sin." They think it's funny. They think it's wonderful. The clear instruction from Scripture is not to waste your time trying to deal with a fool. It is a futile, frustrating endeavor. You can't talk any sense into a fool. And listen, that applies to just about anything in life. If you have wisdom about something and you believe the Lord wants you to share that with somebody, if that person rejects that, don't sit there and argue with them. What does Jesus say to do? Don't cast your pearls before the swine, right? Especially when you're trying to speak God's truth to them. But what you need to do is back up and pray for them. Now that he put it on my heart to say something to them, now I'm responsible. What I cannot do is back up and say, "Well, I ain't, forget that fool." I'm not allowed to do that. If the Lord made that connection and he wants to reach them, if they don't receive it, then we are on the hook to at least pray for them, at the very least. You can't talk sense into them. And not to sound too simple, but this is what makes him a fool. Again, he won't listen. He won't learn. He can experience terrible punishment and discipline, but he will not change. Don't look at him, but anybody know somebody around here that, I mean, you thought they hit rock bottom a long time ago? Then they had to hit rock bottom again and again and again and again and again, right? The truth of the matter is everybody to a certain degree. Now, I was talking, me and my mama were talking a little earlier, well, yesterday, and we were talking about, she was at my sister's and visiting my sister, and we were talking about that, you know, my wife always tells her, Dwayne was not as good as you tried to say he was when he was a kid. Because mom would always say he was my good one. I mean, he was a good boy. And my wife hears me tell stories and she goes, "You were not a good boy. And your mama lied." Right? I said, "But you gotta understand, compared to my two brothers and my sister, I was good. I was a saint." And my sister, so she's talking to my sister the other day, and my sister said, "Oh, you know better than that. I was an angel." I said, "Yeah, a fallen angel." So, but here's the thing. So we were talking about that. I said, you know, one thing I did learn because I was the youngest was that a wise person, how many of you agree with me, learns from their mistakes. A really wise person has to learn from other people's mistakes. Yeah. Hopefully they won't have to learn from their own mistakes, right? And so I had three examples to say, nope, I don't want what they got, right? So a person can experience terrible punishment, terrible discipline, but they just won't change. You know, in the men's Bible study, we've been reading about Pharaoh going through the, you know, all of these plagues and all of this stuff that, you know, that they're going through. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it's really horrible. But he just kept hardening his heart over and over and over again. And when you read through the book of Revelation, over and over again, God pours out these terrible plagues and terrible things that happen in the book of Revelation. But then it follows up by saying, but they still did not repent. So Proverbs chapter 27, verse 22, though you grind a fool in a mortar. Now that's pretty rough. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain. Y'all know what that is? You ever see the little, it's like a carved out stone, piece of stone, and it's got this stone thing, and they're just, I mean, they're grinding it inside. He's saying, even if you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Because until the moment he comes to repentance and says, teach me, Lord, show me your ways, he will remain, or she will remain, a fool. And they need somebody to pray for him, because 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the fools or the unbelievers. So since they won't, you know, if fools would listen, they'd cease to be fools. But since they won't, it's best to let them continue in their foolishness. I told a young man one time who just, he just, you know, and some of you, maybe you've had people tell you this, he just said, I still want to sin. I still want to do my thing. I'm not finished. I still want to see what the world has to offer. And I said, I'll pray for you. Go do what you got to do. Go get you a tummy full of it. Be like the Israelites crying for the quail. We want quail. We want quail. We want quail. We want quail. God says, okay, I'll give you some quail, but you're going to eat so much of it that it's going to be coming out of your nose. And he did. And sometimes we're the same way. There's more I want. I want more of what this world has to offer. And I told this young man, I said, you know what? I'm going to pray for you that you will live through it and live to see the day that you can come to repentance. But there's not a thing I can do for you right now, so go get it. Go get it. I pray that you don't die in the process. If that's what you want, if you're not going to listen to God, if you're going to be a fool, if you're going to be hard-hearted, go get your belly full. Right? Some people say, well, why would you tell him to do that? Because he was being a fool. And there's not a thing I could do about it. And here's the problem. When a person chooses to be that kind of a fool, you have to get them away from the people that they're going to hurt. Again, what's the problem with this, though? You know, they won't repent. They won't listen. So they stay in their foolishness. And the problem with it is, if you've been around a fool, it's hard not to respond. Proverbs 27:3, it says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both. In other words, when you see somebody being a fool, if you have any compassion at all, you want to help them. Am I right? I mean, you don't want them to stay there. You want to help them. And so the difficult dilemma with fools is that you shouldn't respond to a fool for the reasons mentioned, but you know that if you don't respond, that person is going to remain a fool, and you know what the outcome is going to be. And so the situation is described perfectly in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Well, you'll be like him in two ways. How? Number one, it's so foolish to answer a fool that you have to be a fool to do so. How many of you have ever heard somebody get into an argument? Don't look at them. But if you've ever heard somebody get in an argument and they were arguing about the stupidest thing that really made no difference, it was like just dumb, super dumb things. And I'm like, why in the world would you even be arguing over this? All right. So that's what it looks like to people when you're arguing with a fool. It's best to back off. Don't cast the pearls before the swine. Back off and love them from afar and pray for them. Number two, you won't be able to help but look like a fool when you respond. This is where this quote comes from. Don't argue with a fool because onlookers won't be able to tell the difference. It's kind of like every once in a while that this happens where, you know, maybe somebody enters a place with a gun and starts trying to harm people or shoot people with a gun. Someone else there pulls out a gun and starts trying to deal with the person who's trying to hurt people, and then the police come in and shoot the wrong one. They shoot another guy with a gun, but he wasn't even the bad guy. Well, it's a mistake in identity type of thing. Well, it's the same thing when you're arguing with a fool. People look and they go, which one's the fool? So the Apostle Paul even alluded to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So again, he's letting you know, as far as a worldly mindset, the mindset of a fool, the gospel sounds foolish to them, right? So Proverbs chapter 26, verse 5 now, this is interesting. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, back up a little bit. We just read a while ago in verse 4, Proverbs 26, 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. And then verse 25 tells you, seems like just the opposite. He tells you, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. It sounds totally contradictory. And so everything within you wants to respond so he doesn't continue to think he's right and remain a fool. You just want him to stop spouting stuff that's not true because, you know, it's hurtful. Now, let me warn you about something. On Facebook, if you have Facebook, if you get on Facebook, and I kind of set this rule on my page, all right? If you want to argue with me, you ain't going to do it on my page. You can go do all you want on your page. So when people get on my page and they want to argue something about God, I just delete it. I don't even acknowledge it. I delete it. But here's the other side of it. I'm never going to get on somebody else's page and argue with them about something they posted on their page, right? Now, if they want to have a personal conversation, we can do that. But I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't want to look like two fools arguing with each other, especially while we're trying to represent Christ, because we got a theological difference. So I encourage you, be careful about social media, about jumping out there to want to argue with people about stuff. I learned my lesson on the KPLC thread, all right? So I don't think I accomplished anything, literally, although I was giving them truth. So everything within you wants to respond because you love them, because you care about them, because they're a human being, they're created in God's image. But there's one verse saying not to answer the fool, and then the verse immediately following says just the opposite, answer the fool. And it looks like this contradiction unless you consider how well it captures the whole predicament that you're in with a fool. You shouldn't answer him because of his foolishness, because of the way you know they're going to react, but then you should answer him in hopes that they will learn wisdom. So here's the difference. Here's the key. Despite the strong urge to respond with your knowledge on a soulish level, and remember, your soul is what? Your mind, your will, and emotions. And before you have this urge to respond in that way, don't. Unless you know you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you know you're being led by the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit has already done something to kind of prep a little bit. Or maybe God's got his target on that person. And you may be the first to begin trying to plant the seed or to plow the hardness of their heart. But again, you back off, because if you don't back off when they reject it, all you're going to do is cause them to harden their heart even more. But you may be the first one, all right? And then God has a target on somebody. He's got a whole bunch of folks out there that he's going to get to them. They got some grandma or some mama or some daddy or somebody in the family praying for them. God's got a target on them, all right? Don't just get drawn into a fleshly argument, even if your intention may be good. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the hardest things for us, because we want to right the wrongs. And in sometimes in our own pride, we want to show what we know. Can I get a bigger amen? So remember, when you just get into a debate based on an opinion, you're going to lower yourself to that soulish realm instead of the realm of the spirit. And hear me when I say this, life is in the spirit. You can argue with somebody, but if the spirit of God's not in it, you ain't accomplishing anything. But if you're being led by the spirit, then something is getting done, even if it doesn't look like it, all right? So you can think that you win an argument, yet miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do in that moment. I remember Pastor Mike, of course, he's, if you know him, Pastor Mike Millay, he's so blunt, you know, you don't have to wonder what he's thinking. And he was doing something on marriage one time, and he was talking about, you know, people being stubborn with each other and talking about the need to be right. You know, husbands and wives arguing because of the need to be right. And then he said, I had to tell one man, because his wife finally had enough and left him. And he said, I had to tell one man, yeah, you were right. Yeah, you were right. But now your wife's in another man's house. But you were right. So here's the thing. You can be right and not be right. So understand that chances are, when you try to bring godly wisdom to a person who refused to be teachable, you will experience the frustration that the Bible clearly warns you that you're going to experience. But if you're being led and compelled by the Spirit to engage them, then you just may do some good. You know, I know, you know, ministries that are dealing with people, you know, Shane and I have had these conversations where, you know, Shane loves people deeply. He loves them deeply. And so when he loses a guy, don't ever think that he's not deeply affected by that, or that we as your church body are not deeply affected by that. I've learned you can't chase them. You can love them, but you can't chase them. And this is a concept we all need to know. Everybody has a circle of influence, every one of us, right? Every one of us. I had a guy tell me one time, because he would just stop coming to church. And so I'd give him a call. Hey, how you guys doing? You doing okay? I try to do that. If I don't see somebody for a while, are you guys okay? You know, but I can't always do that. I'm going to miss that from time to time. But this guy told me, I quit going to your church. I said, okay, everything okay? Well, you know, he said, no, I quit going because I didn't go for several Sundays and you didn't come looking for me. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, and the Bible is very clear that the shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. I said, well, let me clarify something for you there. First of all, I'm not the shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. And so what the scripture means there is not that I'm supposed to abandon the faithful ones and abandon the ones that want to hear what the Lord has to say through this ministry to chase after people who don't want to hear it. But what God is saying is, under shepherd, you be faithful to the 99, but I'm going to go after the one. And a lot of times when God has to go after the one, they're not going to like the result, right? And he loves them and he's willing to go after them. But it's the chief shepherd that's going to chase them down, right? And he loves them, and he's trying to defend them. But if they're stubborn and they want to give him a hard time, well, he's going to let them suffer a little bit, all right? But so here's the thing. For all of us, I'm talking about as a shepherd, but all of us are a shepherd to somebody. All of us have a circle of influence that God has put people in your life for you to speak to. And if they want to be stubborn and hard-headed, and many times it's family members, if they want to be stubborn or hard-headed and they want to just go do their own thing, you don't have to go chase them down. What you need to do is be faithful in what God has you doing and pray for them, and God will chase them down, all right? God's intention is always good for them, but that's his job. The chief shepherd chases you, not the under-shepherd. Now, you know, thank God for those who love us enough to give us truth, even knowing that the truth may have offended us. I'm thankful that people, when they were led by the Holy Spirit, were able to speak truth to us. And as a result of that, we're here tonight. Okay? And I'm thankful for that. Thank God for those of us who have had people in our lives like that. But it could have caused them to be rejected by us. And I'm thankful for people who are willing to take that risk. But again, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything you do. I use this example back in San Antonio when I was in college, and we would do a lot of street witnessing, and I learned something. You could go out there, and we had people in our school that would do this. They just want to go stand out on the corner and just preach. Stand out on the corner and just preach and preach and preach, and you know. But I learned something. We would begin to pray before we would go out there as a team, and we'd say, Lord, lead us to the ones that you've been preparing. Lead us to the ones who will be able to receive. Lead us to the ones, Lord, who's got somebody praying for them out there. And it never failed. We'd go out there, and listen, I literally would do this. I would look into their eyes. Now, this is San Antonio, downtown San Antonio. And I'd walk by 10 or 12 people before I see the one. There have been times people be out on the corner hollering and screaming and preaching and all that. Nothing coming out of that. I'd see the one. I'd see the one. I'd look in their eyes. I'd see the one. The Lord would just let me know. And I'm telling you, over and over and over and over, we would lead people to Christ that way. Sometimes people who were suicidal. Sometimes people who were just going through all kinds of horrible things, but God was preparing their heart. And when somebody showed up, led by the Holy Spirit, they were able to receive. And listen, sometimes the way they looked had nothing to do with whether or not they were ready to receive, as far as the way they were dressed or anything like that, right? But if you follow the leading of the Lord, He will help you to be effective when you share the gospel. If you get into an argument, we had one guy, he loved to argue theology. And he got into an argument out there on the street with a drunk. Now, anybody ought to know, if you argue with a drunk, you're being a fool. So he's out there espousing his theology to this drunk. Next thing you know, this drunk's taking swings at him. And then he wants to talk about how he was being persecuted for Jesus. He said, no, you were being a fool. I mean, don't argue with a drunk. I mean, that's stupid. So, again, I thank God for people who took the risk. You know, they loved us enough to be willing to take that risk for our sake and possibly for our future destiny. And sometimes truth hurts. So, again, another quote from Pastor Mike. He says, the truth will make you free, but it's probably going to make you miserable first. It requires great humility to come to repentance when you've acted like a fool. But remember what the Apostle James wrote in James 4:6. We're going to end it here, a scripture after this. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Favor is his grace. He opposes the proud. He opposes the fool, but he gives grace to the humble, to the teachable. And then the Apostle Peter also said in 1 Peter 5:5b, says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. All right, let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your word. I thank you that your word is a double-edged sword. Lord, it pierces. It goes all the way down deep. Lord, even as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, your word is truth. And Lord, we choose to receive your truth. Lord, we all know that we've been fools at some point. Lord, we all know we have the propensity to be a fool even now. But Father, we don't want to be people who ignore your voice, who aren't led by your spirit, who allow our own flesh and the very nature that was supposed to be buried when we were made alive in you. Lord, we unfortunately allow that thing to rise up sometimes. And we're praying for your wisdom to know how to keep that thing down. Lord, we want to be able to hear you clearly and follow the leading of your spirit. Father, if there's one thing we need, it's that. Father, I pray that you would use every person here tonight. Give us your wisdom with how to handle people, how to deal with people, because you love them and we want to love them the way you love them. But Father, give us your wisdom with how to deal even with those who your word calls fools. Father, if there's anyone in our lives, anyone here tonight, maybe there's a fool that they work with or that's a family member or a friend or someone that they know. Father, I pray you give them a special grace to know how to deal with that situation. And Father, I pray that your grace and your mercy would lead us. Lord, your grace and your mercy would flow through us. And your spirit would show us the way. And Father, we're so thankful for that. Thank you for forgiving us for all the foolishness that we've done. Thank you for redeeming us, and thank you for teaching us. We love you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, won't you say amen? Amen. God bless.